Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the podcast with the unpopular opinion that progressive centre-left politics has a lot to offer the modern world. MPs have returned to Parliament ahead of next week's big Brexit vote on Theresa May's withdrawal deal. The vote was postponed in December with the assumption it wouldn't pass. So has anything changed over the Christmas break? And what is the route now for Labour to change course of Brexit? I'm Progress Deputy Director Stephanie Lloyd, and I'll be talking to Alison McGovern about the mood in Parliament, while Deputy Editor Connor Pope will be speaking to Tim Bale, who runs the Economic and Social Research Council's Party Members Project. So, Alison, has anything about the withdrawal agreement changed since the government pulled the vote last month?
No. Next question. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, why have we not done this already? This is what I keep thinking to myself.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Why did we not do this in November or December? Why are we sitting here in January still not having gone through this process?
Yeah, because is there any reason that MPs would have changed their minds since then?
Well, any general whipping, like sort of general trying to persuade people that what they've told their constituents can still be upheld by some kind of rhetorical jiggery pokery. So that they might have been very unhappy with the deal, but subsequently they have discovered blah, 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 blah. And so only the kind of like process of argument, but I don't think so. And these are quite big numbers that we're talking about. So the ERG is quite, you know, it's quite a significant group. Mm. Steve Baker has previously claimed sort of, you know, 80-odd Tory MPs. And the vote of no confidence in Theresa May did at least reveal that there are quite a lot of Tory MPs that are unhappy with her. And so she has a low level of trust and support amongst her members of Parliament. So I find it quite hard to think that a significant number of them will have changed their mind.
So the vote's confirmed for next Tuesday. So what, and the debate starts on...
We don't actually know this yet.
Okay.
Because basically, as we are sat here now recording this, although, you know, by the time the podcast goes out, we may have slightly more information, but not much, to be fair. What will happen is at the beginning of the debate, we'll have a programme motion.
Mm-hmm.
Which will set, you know, how many days, what we're discussing when, and then when exactly the vote's going to be. But the fact is, we've had a debate and got halfway through it before. So there's a bit of a move amongst some backbenchers to try and amend the government's programme motion to shorten the debate, to bring forward the vote, to get it all moving more quickly.
So I was going to say, because we've already had some debate. So what would, if it isn't shortened, what is it just more contributions, more debate that happens in between now and then?
Well, it's all a bit of a weird one and quite unprecedented in the sense of, say you're, you know, the Member of Parliament for any town central and you've already spoken in the debate that was aborted. Do your remarks count? Mm. Do you have to write to the speaker and tell him that you'd like to speak again? Do you give the same speech, which is already enhanced? I mean, this whole process of pulling the debate halfway through is crackers for a whole range of reasons. One of them is that we appear to have had a month's delay for no good reason. And another one is members of Parliament are a bit left wondering how they're supposed to respond to a new debate, which is basically a regurgitated version of the thing that we got halfway through last time. Hmm. It's all very strange. Anyway, we shall find out more over the coming week as the government tries to lay down its procedure, its timetable, and people will no doubt try and jig around with it.
So as you said, I mean, MPs have started to try and make kind of interventions and change the kind of dynamics of what's going on. So over 200 MPs have written a letter to Theresa May asking her to rule out no deal. Did you sign it? Do you think it will have any effect?
Yes, I did. And it was, you know, MPs, it started off with MPs in manufacturing areas. So Jack Dromey and Caroline Spelman, who's a senior Tory MP, and Jack Dromey, who's one of our Labour front benchers. And, you know, no deal would be an absolute disaster. What's interesting about that letter is obviously, you know, the vast majority of Labour MPs will have signed it. I think those that haven't, it's more just because they haven't got around to it rather than it, you know, that they didn't want to, whatever.
Yeah, or, rather than they're flying the no deal flag.
No, exactly. I think that Jack will have just done a kind of like round robin letter and people might not have seen it. But what's interesting is the kind of 20 odd Tory MPs saying that they would vote to stop no deal. Mm. And we kind of always have known that there was a significant number of Tory members of parliament who would want to stop no deal. And now we have some names for the first time. So that's a good step forward. The problem is, though, as the New Statesman Stephen Bush often points out, being against no deal is a good thing. But in order to achieve that, you need to be for something else. Mm. Now, you can be for no Brexit. Do you see what I mean? You could be for the status quo. So you could argue that what we should do is rescind Article 50 subject to some further discussion and debate about what kind of Brexit that we want, potentially no Brexit. Or you can be for something else like putting the Prime Minister's vote to a public vote or some other version of a Brexit deal that you think would be more palatable. But in a sense, the kind of the fact that people are against no deal is the easy bit. Mm. The harder bit is, what is there a majority for?
Well, I mean, we saw the kind of sight of lorries practicing queuing in Dover yesterday. Do you think that made anyone more optimistic about the idea of a no deal?
Oh my goodness. I mean, what?
How is this what's happening?
I don't know, but it seems to be like, if we demonstrate that we're ready for no deal, then that will send a message to who? The public? You know, the businesses who already know how bad no deal is going to be, the public who are having to prepare for things, you know, people are trying to book holidays and being told we don't quite know what the arrangements at the border are going to be yet, but, you know, watch this space. I don't think lorries having a practice at getting in a queue will reassure anybody.
Also, if the one thing we know that, you know, the British people can do, it is queue.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not the thing that I'm worried about. Absolutely. It's more that we're going to turn the wonderful county of Kent into a car park, which I have a problem with. But we've had...
I mean, it's already like bad
it's pretty
enough,
bad.
Right?
It's pretty bad at the best of times. So the other kind of intervention that we've seen kind of Monday this morning was the kind of intervention that number of MPs have made about a kind of Norway Plus 2.0, whatever ridiculous thing we call it now.
2.0, yeah.
So, I mean, what do you make of that as an option?
Well, this is a really interesting one because Labour Campaign for the Single Market was about making the case for that institution, the single market and the customs union, you know, to say that even if we have to do Brexit, we have to do it in a way that upholds our place in the European economy. Mm. And I think we made a really, really good case, which is why Labour Party policy is for full participation in the single market and a permanent customs union. Clearly, they're trying to see if there's much appetite for that in number 10. Mm. The problem is that we, you know, we previously had really big rebellions of Labour MPs in favour of the EEA, and we had like number 10 have not been on the phone. Mm. They have not been ringing around Labour MPs to see if they could get support for that. So until it's kind of like, it's not a terrible idea, but we've tried it. We've been round that roundabout before and it didn't get us very far. So I kind of wonder about the timing really. But anyway, in the end, the situation is the Prime Minister has to bring forward a plan B. You know, as much as I would love to think that backbenchers can, by force of our argument, make the government act, you know, that's not really how our system works. So we're all just trying to lay options on the table for the Prime Minister to pick up.
Well, I think there's going to be an unbelievable kind of week or 2 weeks to watch in Parliament. Next, we're going to be hearing from Conor Pope talking to Tim Bale about the recent polling into Labour members and Brexit.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm here with Tim Bale, academic and author of 5-Year Mission, the book about the party under Ed Miliband. He also runs the Economic and Social Research Council's Party Members Project, which studies membership of Britain's six biggest political parties in the 21st century. Last week, polling carried out by YouGov for this project found that 72% of Labour members back a public vote on Brexit. Tim, could you just start by telling us a bit about this project?
Yeah, the project started in 2015 and it looks at the membership of six parties, so Labour, Conservative, Lib Dems, UKIP, the Greens and the SNP. And it does that by surveying party members and it uses the polling company YouGov to do that. They have this enormous panel of voters, some of whom are party members, and it means we can get sufficiently big samples to actually say something, you know, meaningful and concrete about the memberships. YouGov has got a particularly good record actually when it comes to the Labour Party, because if you look at the 2015 leadership contest, it got Jeremy Corbyn's score right within about 2%. And in fact, in 2016, the second Corbyn leadership contest, it got it bang on. So we're fairly confident that we can get a reasonably representative sample. Having said that, what we can't guarantee is that we get all the weighting right, because Labour, like other parties, doesn't release exact demographics, so we don't know exactly how many women there are, exactly how many middle class people there are, graduates there are. But we feel we've got it pretty right.
And there's been a big churn in membership over the past
few
years.
Yeah, there has. I mean, particularly among Labour members, there's been this enormous increase, and what you've seen. As a result of that, actually, quite a few changes, the biggest of which, interestingly, is that Labour is pretty gender balanced now. And that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah.
It used to be the case really only for the Greens. But Labour's now pretty sort of half-half men and women, which is an interesting one.
Yeah.
But like a lot of parties, Labour's membership is, you know, overwhelmingly middle class. It's overwhelmingly a graduate membership as well. And, you know, the project has also taught us that, you know, Labour members are not only pretty left wing in terms of, you know, where they see the state and where they see the market, but also socially incredibly liberal as well. So, very much in favour of not restricting immigration, law and order, censorship and all those kinds of things. They're very liberal.
So you say you start the project in 2015. Was that before or after that year's contest?
That was just after. I mean, one of the things that we wanted to do with the project was look at what people did for the parties during election campaigns. So we actually fielded the survey in 2015, a couple of weeks after the general election. Then we did the same in 2017. So we have some idea of the extent to which people do or don't help out their parties. And actually, what's interesting is that in 2017, although much was made of, you know, Labour's campaign effort on the ground, actually, Labour supporters did a little bit less proportionately than they did back in 2015, funnily enough. Yeah. But, of course, they had so much so many more members. Yeah, so, of course, it helped Labour probably far more than it helped the Conservative Party, for example.
So this new data that was released last week, it showed quite how pro-European the Labour Party membership was. I think it said if there was to be a people's vote, 88% of members would back Remain. How much of this data do you think is new information? Because obviously we kind of already know that Labour members are pro-European. And I'm sure that when the leadership is working out its Brexit stance, it factors all of this in. How much of it do you think would have actually been new information?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. I'm not sure how much of it would have been new information to the leadership, but I'm not sure how much the leadership would have liked that information out there in the public realm. Okay. Because I think what the survey did show is the extent, really, to which Labour members are, you know, wedded to trying keeping us in the European Union, and the sheer level of support for a second referendum. But also, I think, you know, there was some interesting stuff in there where we asked them some hypothetical questions about, you know, various kind of referendum options. Mm. And it's clear, really, that obviously no deal is anathema to most Labour Party members. But, you know, they're not keen on any kind of compromise either. And even this sort of Norway plus option, you know, that some Labour MPs are now kind of pushing together with some Conservative MPs. That doesn't really do it for Labour members either. I think, you know, it's often the case that in social science, you sort of prove something that most people reckon they know, but at least you prove it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because there feels like a bit, there's in some elements of people who support a people's vote within the Labour Party, there's talk about trying to get a special conference to harden up Labour's policy on this. But actually, this information seems to suggest that while Labour members support a people's vote, they also just are happy with the policy as it is. And at the same time, you know, there's about two thirds, I think, who say that they think Jeremy Corbyn's doing a good job as leader. So is any of this really impacting his stance, or do we see any slippage in some of his popularity?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. There is in some ways a bit of a contradiction there, isn't there? Because clearly, you know, they don't like the fact that Labour isn't coming out strongly for a second referendum. But I think many Labour members, you know, reading kind of between the lines and digging a little bit deeper into the poll, are of the opinion that, you know, it is the kind of logical next step, if you like, after any kind of confidence motion in the government fails, as we presume it would. So I think a lot of Labour Party members are prepared to give the leadership at the moment the benefit of the doubt, precisely because of the policy that was decided at conference back in the autumn. So in other words, they don't oppose the policy at the moment because they think it's going to lead to the outcome that they want, which is a second referendum. Now, if we get to the crunch point where, say, for example, the deal goes down, Mr. Corbyn, you know, presents a no confidence motion in Parliament, that doesn't work, and then the leadership don't go for a second referendum, I think we could find that the leadership is in trouble then. But you're absolutely right. I mean, Mr. Corbyn is still very popular among a lot of supporters. They are, if you like, inclined to see the best in everything that he does.
And how much of a difference is there between Labour members and Labour voters on Brexit? Because it feels like, you know, from what I understand from reading papers, is that the leadership has this kind of vague policy because actually they don't want to alienate people already voting Labour, especially in Leave voting seats in the Midlands and in the North. Does that kind of, is there a gap there?
There is a gap there. I mean, you know, if you ask members, you know, whether it would be a good idea to leave without a deal, and you ask voters the same question, voters aren't keen, but Labour members are even less keen. Mm-hmm. If you ask about whether the country was right to vote for Brexit in the first place, Labour members are absolutely convinced that it wasn't. Labour voters are too, but less so. So you'd have to say that Labour voters, and indeed voters in general, of course, are less, for want of a better word, Europhile than Labour Party members. But I don't think we should go away with the idea that actually Labour voters, generally speaking, are somehow kind of pro-Brexit. That isn't the case.
Right.
And of course, there's all sorts of other research on a kind of constituency level, which shows that actually most people who voted Labour, even in the so-called Leave constituencies, voted to remain in the European Union. And I think we have to be very careful you know, not to sort of run away with these sort of stereotypes that basically the membership are a bunch of sort of middle class graduates who love Europe and voters are kind of salt of the earth working class types mm-hmm. who, you know, are desperate to leave. That's just not the case. But there is a gap, you're right.
How big, especially on something like No Deal, how big is the gap there? You said that No Deal is an anathema to Labour Party members, but is that replicated with voters as well, do you think?
So, I mean, let's have a look at one of the questions we ask, which is, you know, do you think that leaving the EU without a deal would have negative impacts on the economy in the medium to short term? Now, 89% of Labour members think that's the case, but only, quote unquote, 65% of Labour voters think that that's the case. So that's kind of illustrative of the kind of gap we're talking about. So, I mean, it is fairly big, you know, it's 20% or so on most of those questions. So, you know, it is significant and there's no doubt about it. But of course, that means that the leadership, while they have to pay attention to their members, you know, clearly do have to pay attention to voters as well and may well be concerned that, you know, the membership is unrepresentative. But then that poses a problem generally for political parties. You know, do they represent the ideas and views of their members, or do they always strive to represent the views of voters in their constituency as a whole?
And in the end, it's still 2/3 without the comparison of Labour members. That's still quite.
I think that's very important to stress once again. You know, I mean, Labour members are really Europhile to the max, but Labour voters, generally speaking, are pretty pro-European, and that's not surprising because that's been the case really since, you know, the late 1980s, early 1990s. Mm.
Tim, thank you very much. That's really interesting.
Every week, we ask a political pub quiz question, which is then answered on Friday's extra show. So on Monday, the government planned a stress test for No Deal with 150 heavy-duty vehicles queuing up in Kent. But how many lorries actually turned up? If you think you know the answer, do get in touch with office@progressonline.org.uk or tweet at Connor Pope and we'll have the answer on Friday. So don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast. The music was When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons. And many thanks to the brilliant Caroline Crampton, who produced this podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.